cutting through the clutter. This is the Misty Winston Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, this is the Misty Winston Show right here on TNT Radio, where free speech will always have a home. We have an amazing show lined up again today, but before we kick it off, let's rant, shall we? One of the best things, one of the best stories of all time. Oh, just it's so delicious. Happened yesterday. I have no doubt most people have already heard about it. I can't not talk about it because it really just does bring me so much joy. So I am, of course, talking about the incredible Freudian slip from former president and despicable war criminal George W. Bush. So let's play that clip now so everybody can hear what we're talking about.
Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, anyway. 75.
Oh, it's so delicious. It's so delicious. Okay, so let's unpack why this is so amazing, because, you know, I've been screaming about this for some time now that, you know, people will give me the whole whataboutism thing when I talk about the United States, how we have absolutely no right whatsoever to be finger pointing at literally anybody, because we are the world's worst. There's no question about it. I'm sorry for those people who are extremely patriotic. I think it's okay to be patriotic in terms of, like, I love the people of the United States for sure. Our government is horrific. We commit war crimes. I mean, the entirety of what Putin has done in Ukraine is literally like a Tuesday for us. Yes. So Bush was speaking at an event at his presidential center at the Southern Methodist University. In the speech, he also compared Zelensky to Churchill and called him a, quote, cool little guy, end quote, which is, that just makes me giggle. And then, of course, he then went on to single-handedly expose Western hypocrisy in a single sentence. So as you just heard there, he said, quote, the result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. Yeah, that's right. He said it. I think that this is essentially a confession, right? I mean, shouldn't there be, you know, somebody showing up to haul this guy off to The Hague? So yes, this literally, he just exposed the hypocrisy of the West in a single sentence. You know, as I've been saying, it's impossible for anybody to take the United States seriously when we try to hold other people accountable for their quote unquote war crimes when we are the worst. The worst of the worst. There's no question about it. So, I mean, this to me, this is just it's like just unbelievable. It is my favorite thing that's happened in a very long time. I'm not joking. I have watched that clip a ridiculous amount of times. What I find super troubling is that they laugh. They laugh. I mean, that's disturbing that they're willing to just laugh it off as if that's, I mean, and honestly, I mean, to be fair, I guess I laughed too, but I just laughed because of the absolute absurdity of it. I think that the people in that room are likely laughing as a way to like excuse what he has done. Caitlin Johnstone called it the most perfect thing that's happened. It is really amazing. All of that narrative management, all of that, you know, all the propaganda that they've been throwing at you to vilify Vladimir Putin, which again, Vladimir Putin's not a good guy. That's just reality. You don't reach that level of power without being a psychopath. This in no way is meant to justify or excuse anything Putin has done. But let's be clear. George W. Bush is one of the worst war criminals on planet Earth right now. One of the worst in history, if we're being real. And so I love the fact that I guess it's a Freudian slip or whatever. I mean, he tried to blame it on his age, as you heard at the end of the clip there. You know, he says, 75, like, you know, I'm an old guy, just forgive me. You know, but it really just does expose the lack of moral superiority that we have here. And it's also very interesting because the things that he was saying there about how, you know, Russia doesn't have fair elections, neither do we. And that there's no accountability, we don't have any either. That's why George W. Bush is able to go and give a speech like this. This dude should be in prison. No questions asked. Questions asked. You want to give him a fair trial, fine. But there's no doubt about it. This guy belongs in prison. He is a war criminal. He is the absolute definition of war criminal. I love that he did this. It's been blowing up, obviously. Everybody's talking about it. It went viral like instantaneously. It's gotten just millions and millions of views. I'm hoping that this will really kind of snap some more people out of the ridiculous, narrative management that's going on now around Ukraine. They've worked so hard to build that up, and he just demolished it with one sentence. It's great. It's beautiful. So yes, it's okay. Listen, it's okay if you fell for the propaganda surrounding Ukraine. Propaganda is a very powerful tool. Don't feel ashamed about it, but let's snap out of it. We're not in Ukraine. We're not helping Ukraine for humanitarian reasons or because we're nice or we're doing the good and just thing. We're using Ukraine in a proxy war against Russia, and we have zero moral superiority to be finger wagging at Vladimir Putin about anything that he is doing. So there is my rant for today. It feels good. That was good. It makes me happy that he's just such a bungling idiot that he just exposed the hypocrisy of the West in a single sentence. It's great. So there you go. There's my rant for today right here on TNT Radio.
Drilling down the details.
I feel more informed when I listen.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, so this hour we are joined by my dear friend Shanda Masta, who hosts or co-hosts a ton of shows over on Roar Media, which is a great little outlet there that does a ton of amazing shows, really tries to highlight women in independent media. So she hosts Accidental Activist, Roar Media Live, Beauty and the Boomer, and To Hell and Back. And she's also an incredible and passionate activist for numerous causes. And you can follow her over on the tweeters. And you can also find her link tree there that has all the links to all of her shows and works and all of that stuff. So it's at Chanmasta. Hey, lady, how's it going?
Hey there. Thanks for having me on. Wow. I kind of feel like this is... I've been sucked into the Johnny Depp case because I'm doing show. And so I feel like I've been in this bubble. I've been in a bubble for like 3 weeks. I don't know anything that's going on in the real world except for the little snippets that y'all send me. And yeah, the Bush thing yesterday. Freudian. Oh my, it's like we waited our whole life for him to admit it and he finally did. And yes. The kicker was his cackle laugh that he always does, right?
Just laughing off the war crimes. No big deal. We invaded a country. No big deal. Yeah, he's such a scumbag. And it's just delicious. Oh, I loved it so much. When I first saw that, my husband was asleep. I went and woke him up. I'm like, wake up.
I said it into your eyes like immediately. I'm like, you have to see this before I go to bed.
It's great. It's delicious. Crazy. It's so good. And it really does. In a single sentence, it just completely exposes the hypocrisy of the West. I mean, annihilates it. Anybody that is still going to buy into that nonsense at this point just a fool or a shill. One of the two.
Yeah. Well, and so many do. I mean, we see it everywhere, right? My neighbor's got a Ukrainian flag waving when I do my daily walk past his house. You know, I just shake my head like,
Okay, this is I want to talk to you about Johnny Depp. Can we talk about Johnny Depp?
Because I know let's go there. I've got one eye on the case. We've seen multiple witnesses today. Yes, let's talk about it. Okay. I have a new show with Theron Fronczak. You might remember her from RT Desk. And we have court. See you next Tuesday. If you want to look at the letters, you'll be able to figure out what it means. But every Monday night on Roar Media, we're breaking down not just the Johnny Depp case. We're doing other cases. We're looking at the Manson case and other cases around the country. Ooh. But this Johnny Depp case, man, people are angry and want to know if you're involved in politics, why would you be covering, Hollywood and the salacious? Because there's so many things that we have fought for that are wrapped up in this case, including the weaponization of the Me Too movement, the shadow banning and permanent blocking of people on Twitter for their opinion about Amber Heard. Seriously? That's where we're at.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I haven't been following it super, super. I mean, I have been following it. My husband's actually enthralled. Like he is watching all the clips and he's like telling me. So I don't know why. He's always been a big Johnny Depp fan, as have I. But yes, I've spoken to a couple different people. I spoke to a men's rights activist, which was an interesting conversation. And we spoke about it a little bit. With a legal expert to talk about, because I think that what's really, and I think a lot of people are just dismissing it as like salacious Hollywood nonsense, which I normally would too. Yeah, I normally would too. I don't do Hollywood stuff. I don't care. Like there's millionaires. I don't care. But it's so, I think what's so important about what's happening here is that it's, it is really brought to the forefront the underreporting and the lack of discussion surrounding male victims of domestic violence. And that does not get talked about. It just doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't
we saw firsthand how the Me Too movement was picking and choosing who they wanted to support, right?
Yes.
Tara Reid. They didn't just believe all women there. And, and so, I mean, that perked a lot of our ears up. Like, okay, you guys are blaming everybody. You haven't looked at the facts of this case, right? The Amber Heard case. A lot of us had been looking into it for 4 or 5 years. We knew what was going on. We were just waiting for the rest of the world to get there. And, you know, to Johnny Depp, it's my impression that he doesn't care about winning or losing this case money wise. It's about the court of public opinion. And can he get his reputation back that has been destroyed by the likes of TMZ and corporate smear campaigns, you know, the same corporate media that we fight against the disinformation every day is what he's standing up to, you know?
Yes, 100%. And I agree with you. I don't think he cares. I don't think it's about winning. I think he just wanted a space to be able to tell his truth. Because as he said early on in the trial, you know, I've tried to talk about this. And every time I give an interview, it's twisted. And it's, you know, made to make me look bad. And he's never been able to come out and speak his truth. And it's so obvious. It's you can tell the difference between him and his team and her team. He is very relaxed. He's very calm. They get along, they're laughing, they're joking, they're, you know, and she looks very uptight. You can tell her team doesn't really like her. And I think it's because he's telling the truth. He doesn't have to be worried because he's telling the truth, you know, like it's
the truth will set you free. But we know in a court, in a law, you know, in the justice system, it doesn't necessarily just because you're telling the truth doesn't mean you automatically are going to win, right? It's how you present your case. It's about the facts and the facts. When I came into this case, I tried to keep a very open mind. Like, I'm not hating on women. I'm not hating Amber Heard. Let's hear what she has to say. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're halfway through this case and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's terrible. You know, Johnny Depp's terrible.
Yeah.
And which was the first impression for a lot of us. I got to say, the first time I heard, I was like, oh, God dang it. Johnny Depp's a wife beater. You know, like I
believed him immediately. I'm not joking. Good. Immediately. I was like, she's lying. Good. She is good. Lying. I don't good. Know why.
Because
I don't know.
Now
why.
That we're really getting into this case, you know, we spent 2 weeks on Johnny's side, listening to his witnesses. And of course, his 2 days of testimony and cross-examination. And, you know, I took away from that. Johnny has a drug problem. And, you know, I'm a recovering opiate addict. I do a show called To Hell and Back where we talk about the effects on opiates on the general population at whole. And he was one of them. He was one of us that got sucked into that. Here, go to a dentist appointment. Next thing you know, you're addicted. And I think that's honestly how he did it. But on top of a very toxic relationship, marriage that was happening at the same time. I mean, I think we all relate to a lot of the shades of the relationship and the different dynamics, you know, being angry, being jealous, being insecure, you know, that type of thing. And I think he owned a lot more of, okay, yeah, I said that. Yeah, I did that, you know, especially his texts with like Paul Bettany and stuff. But we haven't seen Amber give one inch now that we're on her side and we're hearing days of her testimony. The stupidest things that she could admit to that would have gave her more validity, she didn't do. Like, oh yeah, I wrote on the mirror. You know, it's all, I don't do drugs. I don't like cocaine. We're seeing, you know, testimony on both sides that, oh yeah, she likes drugs. No, she doesn't like drugs. I mean, her own testimony, her own side is so conflicting that if they would have just gave a little bit, they probably would have been a little bit more believable.
Yes. And she's so not likable. I mean, the smug condescension and she's a really terrible actress. Let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, holy cow, she's terrible.
They had her acting coach yesterday that came in and said, well, Amber can't cry. She has a heart. She cries all the time. But then when it comes to acting, she can't cry. We saw that firsthand on the witness stand. You know, we had bets. Would she cry? Yeah. You know, there's that clip of her out there snorting something, right, with her Kleenex. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, what is she doing on the stand? Honestly, I think that had some essential oils, peppermint, spearmint. She was shoving that up there trying to get her eyes to water because that yes. during the most important, powerful time of her testimony. That's why she's sucking in. She's trying to get that in her. And that all, you know, actors really use that. But we're also seeing, like, with the bruise kit, you know, she didn't call it makeup. Oh, I use makeup to cover up my bruises. No, she called it an actual bruise kit. And in Hollywood, you know, stunt people, Walking Dead, they use kits to make bruises. So that's why yep. it really just watered down all of her evidence. She has nothing to back it up. All of the people I've seen testify on her side are freeloaders who sucked off Johnny Depp. They lived in his penthouses yes. for free. They traveled the world on him for free. And now here we are 5 years later and they're all stabbing him in the back for Amber. It's just like, that's the thing you get. But, you know, I took away the first thing I wrote in my notes when I first thing is it just makes me so sad that they're spoiled rich people. They have such beautiful houses and penthouses and things, and they just have no respect, no. You and I would die to be in a freaking penthouse like that, right? I mean, you give anything yeah. and we sure in the hell wouldn't be tearing it up and smashing shit versus no. either side. It just makes me sick that, you know,
it does. No, I know. And it makes me, but I mean, honestly, it makes me really sad for him too, because and he's right. Like during his testimony, he said, listen, I already lost. Like these yeah. allegations will follow him for the rest of his life. It doesn't matter how vindicated he gets in court. He could win this court case and yeah. they would still follow him. There will still be people who believe this about him no matter what he does. And that's what makes me so angry about women who do this. Because it makes actual survivors of violence. It makes it more difficult for them. But then B, it also, you're completely destroying somebody's life. Completely yeah. destroying it. And, you know, in his testimony, he said, you know, I've lost nothing less than everything. And it just makes me really sad that it got to this level and that she is just such a raging narcissist. And,
yeah.
you know, the testimony surrounding all of that and her having histrionic and, you know, what's it called? Borderline, all of that stuff. I mean, right. I think we all have had an Amber Heard in our lives. At one point, you know,
or even been like Amber, you know, I can relate to being that way in younger relationships when I was like 21, you know, that clingy, needy, don't leave me, you know, I've been that way. So I can relate to it, but it doesn't correlate, you know, what she's saying with what we're hearing on those recordings. And, you know, the only damning thing I think she has is Johnny slamming those cupboard doors. But when you understand the context, he was told 24 hours earlier that he was $600 million in the hole and they owed the IRS $100 million. You'd be slamming some cupboards too, right? That's why he says, does yeah. it have anything to do with you? No, it doesn't. Leave me alone. I'm mad. Everybody leeches off me. Everybody takes from me. And then I'm told I owe all this money. So I understand yeah. why he was slapping cupboards that morning. But, you know, will he win this case is the ultimate question. And what it comes down to is it only takes one juror in the state, you know, of Virginia yeah. to prove, because they have very stringent domestic violence laws, because they were the highest ranked in the country for a long time. So the definition of violence for Virginia is, the bar is very, very, very low. But from what I hear, you know, we have people in the courtroom that are there every day, three or four of them get in. All they're doing is looking at that jury. They're not looking at Amber. They're not looking at the judges. They're looking at that jury and they're giving us day by day reports. You know, juror I was doing this, juror H was doing this. And it sounds like from everything I've heard in the last 2 days that the jurors have already decided this case and they're kind of kicked back. They're kind of bored. And I think that basically every witness that comes forward from this point on, you know, that's Amber's witness. They're just looking to Johnny's team for a reason to discount, to, you know, not use this to okay, well, I can just let this testimony go because it doesn't go with what we've heard in the past. So, right. you know, it only takes one. Will Johnny win? He's already won in the court of public opinion, if you ask me.
Yes. No question. Are you joking? Holy cow. Everywhere you go, literally everywhere. I mean, I know that somebody on Instagram was like, his Instagram following skyrocketed since this has started.
Ellen Barkin Ellen Barkin is on the stand at this moment. I've been waiting for this testimony all day because, you know, she has her own history of terrible divorces gone wrong.
Yeah.
She came out of her last one with only her jewelry, which she auctioned off at Christie's for $20 million. So I'm going to be super excited to go back and hear this testimony. I just see her as another narcissist supporting another narcissist, but we'll see.
Yes, I agree with that. I'm sorry that you have to be here. I'm sorry. I feel bad. I feel bad.
No, it's good. I want to be here. But I want to tell me about Bernie. What the hell is going on in this world? What did Bernie voting for this crap?
Oh, the Ukraine stuff? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Tell me about what's going on in the world. Like I said, I've been wrapped in this case for so long.
Oh, there's so much, my friend. There is so, because I know you've been kind of in a little bit of a bubble, and there is so much going on. The world is ridiculous right now. I can't even, the George W. Bush thing was delicious. That was great. But there's been so much. A lot has been exposed. We do have to take a quick break. Let's go ahead and take a quick break now. That way I can dive into it without interruption. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more right after this here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Mike Ryan's talking about.
And I see this dithering old guy running around pretending to be president. But what's the alternative at the moment? Would Kamala get the nod? Because you've got behind her, it's like a cast of Cocoon. You've got Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, a.k.a. Grandpa for the Munsters. I mean, and that's what he looks like. But you haven't got a whole lot of talent, have you, behind, including Joe Biden?
It's amazing. It seems like the Democratic Party is entirely gutted at this point. I don't know who the up-and-coming people are. There's that guy in Texas, that Beto fellow, but I mean, he's going to lose the race for governor just miserably. This is a guy who promises he's going to take away everyone's guns, so you don't.
Good luck on that one. Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Emergency, police, fire, ambulance. Yes, police, fire, or ambulance.
It's my friend. I love you, please.
Okay, look, I need you to stay on the phone. Just stay on the phone.
You dirty blow.
Okay, now hang on. Oh.
000's sole job is to connect you to emergency services. So please, stay on the line and you'll get help faster.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else.
Everybody here wants information about what's going on.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, this is TNT Radio. You're listening to the Misty Winston Show. I am Misty Winston, and I'm joined by my friend Shanda Masta. We were just ranting about the Johnny Depp case because that is ongoing, and Shanda's doing a great new show and covering this case and other cases in depth, which I'm super, I love that because I'm a true crime nerd, so I love all of that stuff. Yeah, I adore it. And I don't know, I really love it, which sounds weird, like you love true crime. Like, no, that sounds weird.
I get
I'm obsessed
it.
With
loved
serial
it
killers. Yeah, me too.
The first one I bought when I was like 8 years old at a garage sale, you know, was the Zodiac Killer or The Stranger Beside Me. I was obsessed as a kid with serial killers.
Oh, you're like my soul sister, because when I was 8 years old for Christmas, I asked my mom for a book about serial killers. And I honestly, now looking back, I'm like, I my poor mom. What was she thinking?
Oh, right. I was obsessed with Anne Rule. You know, I grew up in the Seattle area during the days of the Green River Killer, the most prolific killer, you know, that we had. And so was really scary. You know, I was in that area. I was 50 miles from where the bodies were. I've been where the bodies have been, and you know, Anne Rule's right there. And so I always used to have a joke when I was 18 that people come in my house and they'd see all the books lying around and they'd run because I was so crazy.
My husband makes me hide my stuff when we have like birthday parties for the kids. He's like, well, you put all that stuff away so everybody doesn't think we're crazy. And I'm like, people know I'm crazy. It's fine. Like, I don't know why you're so worried.
I think it goes down to, Misty, it's an understanding, a wanting to understand what makes people tick, what makes people do this. And as being a kid and growing up in a, you know, I grew up with domestic violence and alcoholism and all of this. Now I can look back on it and go, okay, it's part environment. It's part nurture. It's part, but I think as a child, I couldn't understand. I couldn't wrap my mind around how somebody could be that way.
Yes. I mean, I'm endlessly fascinated by the psychology behind it. Like, what makes a person do what Gary Ridgway did? Like, what is that? What is that thing? And we don't know. And that's what I think is it, because we don't know, I'm like endlessly seeking that information because I like to know. And we just don't know. So, okay. You asked me before the break to tell you a little bit about Bernie Sanders, the imperialist scum.
Oh my God, I can't believe.
Yeah. Dude, the entirety of the quote unquote left has now voted for $40 billion to send to Ukraine. The entirety of the quote unquote left. Yes, for war. For war. This is your left, everybody. This is your left. This is why I've been saying it since 2018. The progressives are a joke. The left in Congress is non-existent. They are all corporate imperialist scumbags. And I don't know why this is so, like, there are still people defending them. I don't understand this. What more do they need to do? They, I mean, let's remember, as far as AOC goes, her first vote in Congress was a vote to expand NATO. That should have been your red flag. You know what I mean? And people are still, like, they're still getting mad at me for calling this stuff out. Well, I'm sorry. I'm anti-war. I'm going to call this out. This is horrific. I mean, why is that controversial? Like, this is unbelievable. I mean, it's not unbelievable. It's totally believable.
Yeah, no, it is totally believable. And my thing is, you know, I'm kind of in this bubble right now with the Johnny Depp case. And then, you know, I'll make a post about, oh, Depp's bad. And people are coming back at me like, oh, but the Republicans, oh, the Republicans, oh, the Republicans. Ugh. I'm just like, are you kidding me? At least a few of them are being anti-war. You guys seem to forget that you were the anti-war party, or unless that was all just for show.
Right? No, and I'm so tired of those people, honestly, the whole what about Republicans. Republicans don't pretend to be my friend. Republicans don't pretend to be anti-war. Republicans don't pretend to care about humanity. You know what I mean? Like, Republicans are who they are. There's no like facade being put on. And so it's very frustrating to me when people think I need to criticize Republicans. No, I'm not expecting anything from them. They've never promised me anything. You know what I mean? Why would I mean, it's
as a poor, you know, I was a teenage mom, 18. I've been through the system, the welfare system. I voted for Clinton in 92, the same year that my daughter was born. And then he voted to kick me off of welfare. I was 18. I had a 10th grade education. And, you know, there was no like, oh, let's help you get to school. Let's educate you. No, it was get your ass off welfare and go get a job. And I was told by those same people that it's the Republicans that are hurting you. They're the ones that don't want you to go to school. They're the ones that, you know, want this and want that. So I swallowed it. I sucked it up and ate it for years. Like, Hillary Clinton's good, the Republicans are bad. And even when I supported Bernie Sanders in 2015, 2016, all the way up, I still did the Republicans bad. And okay, those Democrats suck, but you know, we're progressive. So we're going to take over the party and we're not going to have to worry about those corporatists that call themselves Dems that we think are Republicans because they're all Republicans to us. But now I'll tell you what, I sit in a different space nowadays, Misty, because I look at a lot of people inside the Republican Party doing what neither, you know, none of the damn squad is doing. None of the, you know, the Dems should be saying, I have to be on the same side as Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt. Oh. I mean, I'm just like beating my head against the wall this week. Like, okay, if I'm on the same side as these guys, just because I want anti-war, I want us to get out of these foreign wars and stop giving so much money to other countries when we need to be focusing on the problems at home. We're a third world nation. I mean, children are starving. There's no health care. There's no housing. There's no jobs or livable wage. And I'm just, so, you know what? I've had friends now that have went in the Democratic Party, tried to run, got shut down by the corruption. And guess what? Now they're over in the Republican Party and I'm not going to hate on them. And I probably will vote for them because I know what their morals are and I know what they're fighting for. What it comes down to anymore is not what you're saying, it's what you're doing.
Yes. And that's what it should always be. They're all real good at talking. They're all real good at talking. They're not real good at doing. And their actions never match their words. And that's, I mean, everybody should be paying attention to the actions of these people. And you're right. Like, it is really strange for me to like be, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene gave that one speech and I was like, dang, I agree with every word of this. And it felt dirty. Like, but at the same time, I think we need to be very, very aware of the fact that she's not serious either. I mean, this is, she's an opportunist, and she sees the lane that is open. So I don't have a problem agreeing with her, because what she said is true and correct, but her actions also don't match her words. She invested in some defense manufacturer stock right before she went on that rant about the war in Ukraine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's not serious either. So I think that that's a lot of people in their analysis are missing that. Like, they're like, oh my gosh, Marjorie Taylor Greene is right, and oh my gosh, Rand Paul is right. Okay, yes, they are. But we also need to let people know that yes, they're saying the right words, but you still need to watch their actions, because this is not, they're not going to carry all of that over into their actions at all. They're opportunists. So, I mean, we do live in very strange times.
Why wasn't that the squad on the floor pointing this stuff out? Why wasn't it, because they know if they don't fall in line and rank and file, get behind what Mama Bear and the Blue Dog Dems want, then they have no career. They don't get to stay. And we saw that, from day one, especially with, old Sandy there, she went right into office and voted to expand NATO. Okay. Cause that's what the progressives put you there to do,
and their very first vote.
They're doing the same thing with Roe versus Wade, because if you go and you look, there's a TED talk from 5 months ago where a big dog Democrat is talking about how, I hate to break it to you, but this is going to go back to the states, and we have a plan, and here's what we're going to do. And if you want to know what the Democrats' plan is, it's they will never codify it. It will never be at the federal level again. It will get kicked back to the states. And that's because they want to make it a destination procedure where you can go into the blue states to get the procedure you need and anything south of the Mason-Dixon. And it's all about money. Privatization. Yes. We can privatize these clinics. We can fly people in. We can even fund it. We can get federal funding. We'll just call it this. We'll do it this way. We'll route the funding to these cities this way. And that's how we're going to deal with it in the future. So I predicted that's what's coming for the last year, and I see that's what's coming. So don't give the Dems money. Don't give them any money to fight Roe versus Wade, because they're not going to fight it. Don't buy that when they're campaigning. The only reason they leaked that draft is so you'd give them money for the midterms.
Yes. And it worked. Like, they did a whole record breaking week. And that just makes me sick. It just makes me. But what I'm curious about is, what is it going to take for people to stop defending the squad and Bernie Sanders? What is it going to take? Holy cow. What have they done? Seriously, I keep asking. Nobody has an answer for me. It's been 4 years now since the squad got elected. What have they done? Give me one thing that they have done.
What? Sandy got you COVID money if you die. Don't you get $3,000 if you die?
Yes.
AOC got it.
She went from she went from Medicare for all to funerals for some. That's totally what happened. Holy cow. But they've done nothing. And in fact, not only have they done nothing that they claim that they would do, they don't even pretend. Like, they tweet, but they don't actually fight. They never actually stand up or put forth any effort when it counts. And they then go ahead and vote along with and support the corporate corruption within the Democratic Party. Not to say that it's just the Democrats, because, all those people are going to yell at me for not. Yes, Republicans are corrupt too. Yes, Republicans are owned by corporations too. There you go. There you go. There's your disclaimer. That's not a surprise to me. But the squad pretended to be our friends. The whole point, I think a lot of the problem is a lot of people forget that when they were first running, the entire point of them was to go into Congress and challenge the Democratic establishment.
Yeah, not the
Republicans. That was the point. Right. Yeah. Right. Oh.
But they don't do that. Nobody does that. So when you see the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene and they're actually dropping some freaking truths, you're just like, oh, finally, thank God somebody went in there and said what the rest of us are all thinking. I keep seeing these Democrats, they get up there and they're like arguing, we got to have this money for war. When did we declare war, and why do we not as a country go to our elected representatives and have them declare war like we used to? I mean, ever since Bush and the Patriot Act, it's just like, oh, we're just in a perpetual state of war at all times.
Yes.
You guys can't have anything, and we're going to shower our money everywhere else globally. Suck it up.
Yeah. Yes, we're sending an additional $40 billion to Ukraine, of which there will be no accountability. There's no oversight. We have no idea where that money is actually going. It's a money laundering scheme. Let's be clear. Julian Assange called this out in 2011 in regards to Afghanistan. He was right then. He's right now. It applies to every war. It's a money laundering scheme.
Yeah.
Again, we are using the people of Ukraine as cannon fodder in a proxy war against Russia and to further enrich defense contractors and weapons manufacturers. That's what it is. That's what it is. We don't care.
Did I ever tell
you
that I was engaged to a guy who worked for Halliburton, which is a subsidiary of Halliburton in 2003 during the Iraq war. And he was driving truck for Gordon Trucking, which is one of the bigger outfits in the United States that moves a good amount of merchandise. And he was making the equivalent of like $12 an hour back then, which wasn't crap. I mean, truck drivers really don't make a ton of money. So he sends me a message. He goes, hey, do me a favor, drop me my resume off at Halliburton. And next thing I know, within a month, he is whisked off to Iraq to drive truck as a subcontractor. And he's clearing $300,000 a year, as long as he doesn't come back into the country more than three times in a year or something like that. He'd have to come in via Canada. And, you know, he would come back and he would tell me the difference between what our service guys were getting over there and what the subcontractors were getting, you know, in these war zones. And it was so appalling. It was just, that was the first time that my eyes were open to the corporate entity that is war. And we have been in a perpetual state for almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
Why is there nobody on the floor of our Congress calling this out?
That's a very good question. It's very, because even like the people who are generally pretty good on this stuff, the Rand Pauls, the Thomas Massies, they don't really call this stuff out all that much. No. Every once in a while, they might put out a tweet or something, but they don't really make any noise about it. You know, we had a guy stand up on the floor and just admit we are at war. Nobody approved that. There's been no, what is happening? It's just a free for all. It's just a free for all. And it's, you know, completely unaccountable. There's no, in George W. Bush's speech when he was, he's like, there's no checks and balances. Hello, sir.
Yeah, you did that.
I mean, that whole segment of that speech was pure projection. I mean, just pure projection. Everything that he said in regards to Vladimir Putin applies to the United States times a million. And it's just, it's endlessly fascinating to me that we can continue like this.
So can I ask you about the other day we had this shooting in Buffalo, right? And now they're blaming it on this conspiracy, the elimination conspiracy or whatever it is called.
The Great Replacement.
The Great Replacement. And I must have tweeted out something that Sean King tweeted out like 5 or 6 years ago. And I see it pop up in my Facebook and somebody's commenting on it. And I was like, they're like, this is a conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. And I look at it, I'm like, oh my God, this was from 5 years ago. I'm like, who is hanging out in my post from 5 years? That's a little creepy and off-putting that you were hanging out. And I can't even get to post from 5 years ago. And I got trolled by a Dem saying, how dare you tweet this? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I retweeted something from Sean King from 5 years ago. And I promise if I dug through anybody's timeline over the last 5 years, there would be something that would be considered a conspiracy theory on there. But being in this bubble, I was just taken by surprise. Like, what is this craziness that's going on?
I know I got in trouble because on Twitter the other day, because I tweeted out there's a story of one of the numerous examples that we have where the FBI has, infiltrated some chat rooms or whatever, and then groomed some mentally unwell white kid to do some bad stuff. So, I mean, we have a ton of examples of this, right? But I tweeted that out, and then somebody said that I was ignoring the victims, and that I was just trying to blame it on mental illness and the FBI. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're not worried about that aspect of it. Like,
it is mental illness. But... and simple. Well, mental illness.
Yes, because that level of hate is mental illness. There's no question about it. That's not like to justify it or excuse it. But yes, that level of hatred is definitely mental illness. But furthermore, shouldn't we be having an open conversation about the fact that we know our law enforcement agencies engage in that way, because we know that they do it. And that's part of the problem. And if we don't address that, you're ignoring a huge part of the problem. I'm not saying that's the case here, but it is weird that the FBI knew about this guy long before they had their eyes on him. They, I mean, obviously they were monitoring him. So I'm just saying, I'm not, I mean, I don't know that they were directly involved with, you know, pushing him too far, but it's, I would not put it past them. You know what I mean? And we need to have that conversation. Yeah, we need to have that conversation.
Right. But when it comes to the left, we're not allowed to have any conversation that they're uncomfortable with or that they can weaponize. And it's just shut down. And we've seen that on every social media platform. There is no public discourse that's allowed on any topic anymore. And the comedians, I hate to say it, are taking it on the chin for everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I got your white privilege is showing. And I'm like, what? I mean, yes, I have white privilege. question. I definitely do. I have white privilege. There's no doubt about it. But me bringing up a huge part of the problem and a potential cause for an increase in this level of hatred and violence is not white privilege. I'm just trying to have a conversation.
Well, you know, it's like Rage Against the Machine has been saying for 30 years. Sometimes those who, you know, wear badges are burning crosses. Yeah, we know.
Yes. I mean, yes, it's not like we don't have a literal ton of examples. There's a ton. Yeah. We know it. I mean, Gretchen Whitmer is a great example. That's a very relevant, recent, and like a huge, I mean, that came out in court. There were more feds involved in that than there were like just actual normal people.
Right. I mean, and the main fed, he had so many charges against him and DVs and when you hear that true story, you go, whoa, okay, that makes more sense than what I was told by the mainstream media.
I know, but we can't talk about it because it makes the left uncomfortable. They get in their fifis and they don't want to talk about it. So it's annoying. Okay, we have to take another quick break. Everybody hang tight. We're going to be back with more right after this here on TNT Radio.
Media absurdity reaches a new low. Actual newspaper headline reads, COVID and climate change push many older women into prostitution. Stay tuned.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Marano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Marano.
PTI News Service features a story this week that has been picked up in several Indian newspapers, including The Print. The article claims COVID has combined with climate change to rot yet another dimension of grimness, older women, some even grandmothers being pushed into prostitution. The article continues, we're still in the process of realizing the complete impact that COVID-19 brought into this region already battling climate change, claimed a social activist. Now, it was not COVID that caused these devastating impacts. It was the ill-advised lockdowns that wreaked havoc. The claim that unchecked climate change leads to more women entering prostitution has been around for decades, but it is now merged with climate change. Here is a climate prostitution claim from a decade ago.
Several liberal lawmakers are pushing a resolution to warn women that climate change could make them vulnerable to, quote, sex work transactional sex and early marriage.
Yes, that's right. If we don't mask up and support carbon taxes, not only will you kill grandma, but you'll turn her into a hooker. For the Marano Minute, I'm Mark Marano on TNT Radio.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA. Or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
When you listen to us, you're always guaranteed straightforward, easy to understand, coherent conversation.
That's why I've made it a priority my entire career to work closely with you from the time I got to the Senate 180 years ago.
And we stand by those words.
But I made very clear to Putin that we're not going to seek So the best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to. Anyway.
Oh, man. Just stop talking.
TNT.
Yes. Please stop talking. Please stop talking, yeah. Joe Biden. Hi, I'm Misty Winston. This is the Misty Winston Show here on TNT Radio. Those little ads are just the best. Somebody today said something about Joe Biden making decisions. And I'm like, Joe Biden's not making any decisions. I don't know if anything could make it more clear that it doesn't matter who the president is than Joe Biden being president. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Seriously. That guy can't even form a coherent sentence. Oh, it's so bad.
So how's our new press secretary been? I haven't had a chance to see her up close and doing her thing yet.
She's a hot mess. Express.
Is she?
Yeah, like her first, I mean, listen, to give her a little bit of leeway, it was her first day, but, and I honestly, I don't pay much attention to the press conferences at all, like,
right.
But her first, I think it was her first or second day, somebody asked her a question and then asked like a follow-up or something, and she started reading from her little paper, but she was reading about something that had nothing to do with the question, and it was just bad. It was bad, bad, bad.
She's going to have to learn how to circle back to it.
Oh, Jen Psaki. What a turd she is.
So she's over at MSNBC. MSNBC. Wow.
Yeah,
that's the reality, you know? Yeah, lobbyists, it don't matter, you know, private, government, they go hand in hand.
I know. And can we just talk about the reality of the disaster that our mainstream media is? They're hiring people like Jen Psaki. They have literal spooks on their panels, like they're paid contributors. There is a revolving door. Like people keep telling me that, the press is separate. Well, no, there's no gray area. There's no gray space. The social media giants, big tech, the mainstream media, and the government are all the same thing. There's a revolving door. I think Kamala Harris's press somebody or somebody, I don't remember who it was, used to work at Twitter. And you know what I mean? Like it's just this revolving door of corruption and it's all intermingled and that's bad. And people are pretending like it's an okay, like it's not okay for former CIA, blah, 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 to be on MSNBC. Like it's just weird.
Or elected. You know, Jimmy Dore did a report, I want to say in 2017, where the CIA admitted that they were going to infiltrate our elections. And this was, we're going to do this. And they showed you the percentage of former CIA agents that were now involved in politics. And now you go look at those statistics and they were going to, they did. They infiltrated media. They infiltrated politics. Anywhere that they could take power, they have done since 2016. Because boy, they did not like getting their faces rubbed in Trump in 2016.
Yeah, no, very true. That's very true. And really, it's been like since the 60s, really since the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah,
that was essentially a coup. I mean, that was
Eisenhower.
That was a coup in our own country, and the CIA has since been running this country.
The deep state runs this country.
Yeah,
it is. And who's been in charge of the deep state for many, many years? You know, you have to look back at Secretary Hillary Clinton, who was in charge of the State Department in 2012 when it was Obama's State Department, and really, who's had control of it ever freaking since?
Yeah, she is such a disaster of a human being. Let's just be real. She is, I mean, allegedly, don't come for me. That's just my personal opinion. She is a disaster of a human being.
How are they going to sneak her in? How are they going to sneak her in 2024?
Right. I think that too. People keep saying I'm crazy. I think that they're going to do that too.
Department position? Is it going to be a cabinet position? Is she going to run for something? I'm telling you.
I think she'll run.
She ain't gone. She is not gone.
No,
she's not going to stay.
She's not. No, and I wouldn't be surprised if she attempts the presidency again, because I think that Kamala Harris, there's no way Kamala Harris is taking over. She is huge.
Her VP? What if she says, okay, Harris, I'll be your VP, and then Harris, you know, has one of those Clinton accidents.
Yeah. Whoopsie-daisy. Suspicious circumstances.
Have you seen the video where Ford predicts that the first woman that will ever hold the office of presidency will not get there by election of the people, that they will get there by being vice president or somebody having an accident or illness or something? And that was President Ford did that in like 1980s, I want to say.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think might be right.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, technically, if you want to be technical about it, Kamala Harris has been the first woman president because Joe Biden had to go under anesthesia. And so when that happens, he has to sign over power to her.
Great point.
It was for just a few hours. But technically, I guess she has been the first woman president. But I mean, God, and I love when people try to pretend like that's something I should be proud of as a woman.
I know.
I'm disgusted.
I'm disgusted because she doesn't represent the values.
No,
no war hawk as a woman should be a true woman with compassion is what we want. Not a war hawk.
Yeah. Yes, I want like a woman with morals and principles, and who isn't corrupt and corporate owned. And yeah, yep. She's also a disaster of a human being. But yeah, like I would not put it past Hillary Clinton. And here's the thing, because I kind of predicted this early on that when Joe Biden was elected, because I wouldn't be surprised if Hillary, because I thought, I guess it was before he got elected, because I thought, they were only using Joe Biden because he had enough name recognition that right. they could use that to justify Bernie getting screwed over again. It was believable that because he has name recognition.
Pete Buttigieg was not believable. No, right.
that was not going to work. And they knew it.
He's a spook too.
Yes. Yeah. Boy Wonder Spook. That's what I call him. Boy Wonder Spook. Nice. Yeah. So I thought that maybe before the election that perhaps Joe Biden would all of a sudden be mentally unwell and he wouldn't be able to continue, and Hillary Clinton would swoop in to, let's win one for the Gipper, that kind of thing. And AOC would cry in the front row about how brave Hillary Clinton was to take over and all that.
She's my hero.
I would 100% see that being possible, that they would be like, oh, Joe Biden is really unwell and Hillary Clinton's going to come in and save the day and all of that. So I'm not saying it will happen, but I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I will not be surprised either. They've got to do something. Everybody in the free world knows that Biden's not going to make it another 2 years, another 4 years after that. I mean, yeah, there's going to be some big plays coming by the Democrats. I think they're just trying to get to the midterms now and try to make as much money as they can as the goal.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, too, if Kamala Harris has to take over for Joe Biden, if it's after the 2 year mark, then she can technically be president for 10 years because she could do a full 2 terms following that 2 years. I don't think that there's no way she would win. I mean, she would get her ass kicked by Donald Trump, by Rick DeSantis,
she never even won one delegate in her own state of California to become the VP. There has never been a ballot cast for her to be anything.
She had to drop out to avoid being embarrassed in her home state. She was polling like fifth in her home state. That's embarrassing. That's really embarrassing.
But now she's our leader, so you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's not really. If we're being honest, neither one of them are in charge of anything.
No, they're just Vanguard, BlackRock. I mean, we know who the leaders are. We name them all the time.
Yes, all the time.
Raytheon, Citibank.
I liken politics to a soap opera with psychopaths. It's just a show. It's just a show. Like electoral politics. Obviously, there's real politics that goes on, but the electoral system, the system of elections and voting and phone banking and all of that stuff, it's just a soap opera with psychopaths. It's just a show that they put on, for the people. That's it, to keep us distracted away from what's actually happening, And people fall for it. It's sad.
Bread and circus.
There you have it. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what it is. And we don't even get the bread anymore, really.
No, but if you talk to Pelosi, she'll tell you, we feed them. Because didn't she reiterate that again this week? And I'm just like,
she did.
Are you feeding? Yeah, she said it again.
No, I didn't see that.
I was just sitting here like, who is she talking about? These people she's feeding.
Isn't her like she's insane? Like the homelessness in San Francisco is through the roof.
Oh, well, actually, now they're doing a massive amount of police enforcement block by block in San Francisco. I do a homeless report where we go across the country and I bring videos, people that are on the streets. And I just saw one from San Francisco where they have really cleaned it up. Now they pushed them out of the downtown district and they're more dispersed is really what's going on. There's not less of them, but she got them out of her way is what I saw.
Hey, if you ever want to talk to my friend Ryan, he's in Akron, Ohio, and he's an activist. He does a lot of work with the homeless. He goes they feed people I think they do it once every other week. It might be once a week now. I'm not sure. But he interviews a lot of homeless people in the Akron area and he goes to the tenant union meetings against the city and all of that stuff. So I can hook you
and
up
that's
with him.
Where
he
our
does
power
a lot of
lays.
That stuff.
That's really where a lot of our power lays, is at the city council, at, these, a community, you got to get to know your community. You got to be an activist at your closest level, because I promise you being an activist at a national level doesn't do anything.
Yes. And Ryan walks that walk. Like, he is amazing. That's legitimately in the streets all the time, like all the time. And he goes to those city council meetings. They've been fighting the tenant. His group is standing with the tenants union. They're going after the mayor because there's really horrendous conditions, like rat infestations and all that stuff.
They don't care. Yeah. These slumlords, we have slumlords from coast to coast in this country taking millions of dollars for people to live in squalor, no hot water, no heat, you know. Yeah. Rusted pipes, bad paint. I mean, we've all been living in it. I mean, my first apartment was with a slumlord, and you know, you learn real fast. You either just put up with it and pay, or you know, you take a big battle on. I've been to court a couple of times with landlords, and they always side with the landlord. You know, for it's just
well, because they have power, they have money and power, institutional power. Okay, we only have about 90 seconds left. Tell everybody where they can find you and where they can find your work.
You can find me at Roar Media, The Beauty and the Boomer. We just got our monetization finally after 2 years because we've been so suppressed. But you can find us on Rockfin. We have so many great shows. Beauty and the Boomer is just kind of a funny look at the week's events. And we kind of, you know, satire. We make fun of it. It's kind of our replacement for SNL. And then during the week, we have all kinds of great shows. You can catch on CC's, we call it CC's for short, on Mondays. That's our law show. Tuesdays is B&B Shorts. And please join us. Follow Roar Media Live.
Yes, please. Roar's doing great work. I love them. Thanks for coming on the show. It's always good to talk to you. Now go watch the Ellen Barkin testimony and then update me because I'm very curious too. And I have another 2 hours.
I was reading it as we were here, so I kind of got the gist of it. She's jealous of Johnny back.
All right. Yeah, of course. Thanks. All right. Anyways, we're going to be right back with more right after this here on TNT Radio.